All right, let us turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. All right, let's just bow our hearts before the Lord. We do thank you, Heavenly Father, for the word that you have given us, for the ability by your Holy Spirit to know you, and to draw close to you, and to love you with all the heart. For we in our natural state don't do these things. We don't long after your word. We don't long after your fellowship. We have no time for you in our lives. But we are so thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit just leads us to your word, makes us hunger for the things that are in your word, to know you better. For every detail that we read in your word, there's a corresponding facet of you that we have yet to explore. So, Father, I just pray that we would allow ourselves to be taught by your Holy Spirit, that we would allow ourselves to be filled but with your Spirit, so that we can worship you in truth. Oh, Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your long-suffering for us. Lord, we thank you that, your patience and your goodness toward us. It's more than we can really fathom. We ask you, Lord, now, fill us to overflowing by your Spirit. Keep us in the center of your will. Let us not go astray. But let us absorb every word that comes from your mouth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're going to start off, well, first I should preface it with, this is the instructions that Moses was giving to his people. Now, if people have tried to go through and section these things out, saying, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, so this is his first sermon. This is Moses' first sermon, and then he took a break, and this is the second part, and this is the third part, and this is the fourth part. As we're going through here, we kind of realize, man, these guys have been listening to all this stuff, and it's just been, man, whew, over my head. I'm hearing all of these things, and the Lord has so much here for me. How can I absorb any of this? Well, it's not for you to absorb. It's for the Holy Spirit to disseminate to you. Remember, Jesus says the Comforter will come and he will bring to mind all the things that I have said. Now, all the things that he has said was from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. All that in between is all God breathed. It's all part of what he has spoken to us. And as I pray, there's so many facets to it. You know, we can read one thing like we saw on Wednesday as we were going through on when we looked at the Isaiah, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child, or unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There's two facets to the coming of Christ. He had to be born first, obviously, to die. And so there you have it. There's two facets right there, and we always think of, hey, that's the same thing. A child is born, a son is given. Well, yeah, okay, we get that, but it's not. He's talking about two different aspects of the same thing. And so it is throughout the whole scriptures. And as we look at these things, you're going to scratch your head and say, why are we going through this? This was for the children of Israel. Oh, really? Was it really? Or was this what the Lord is kind of trying to disseminate to us to understand that it doesn't end with the Old Testament? It doesn't end with John the Baptist. These things are alive for us. The Lord gave us these things so that we could study to show ourselves approved. So as we look at Deuteronomy 18, Moses starts off with the priests and the Levites. And there's more to it, obviously, in Leviticus and in Numbers, especially about the priesthood and things like that. But he's just going over this just so that he can, bring to your mind those things. You know how you put little sticky notes on the refrigerator or on your, the bathroom mirror or until you remind yourself, you put it on the fridge, get milk, that's a reminder. Well, this is what Moses is doing. He's reminding us. Now, the tribe of Levi, speaking of the priests, was divided into three families, as we remember. And if you don't, you can go through your refresher course in Numbers. He kind of goes through that in great detail. There was the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Merarites. These were from the tribe of Levi. Each division, as we saw, had different responsibilities in the tabernacle. So some were there to break it down, some were there to, you know, walk it out, load it into carts and things like that. So the burden was spread out through everybody, but only through the tribe of Levi. So the burden for that was on them. And we called that a burden, but, you know, when you stop and think about it, man, what a neat thing it would have been to be there and to see all of the things that were happening. And you know, just, I would have loved to have gone back and just, you know, a point in time where you're in the temple or something like that, and you see the worshipers, and you're smelling the sacrifices and the incense and the hearing the singers and all that. You don't really get all of that from just the reading there, but you know that they're there. Because in the back of your mind, you said, hey, there were singers. What were they singing? They were singing the Psalms. And these Psalms were just going on as the sacrifices were being given, and the animals were being brought in and they're being sacrificed, and the smells from the barbecues and stuff like that. I mean, you know, yeah, anybody been to a barbecue? Well, you know, you get that smell coming. Oh, yeah, all right, somebody's got some burgers on there. They got some steaks burning there. Yeah, smells good. Can't wait to eat. Well, that was the enticement, bringing them into, you know, the presence of the Lord. Come on, let's fellowship. Let's have dinner. Let's have lunch. Let's have some, you know, time. You know, Jesus, if you see him, every time you see him after his resurrection, he's always eating. He's always having lunch. The first time he showed up, he says, hey, you got any meat? Yeah, you got anything to munch on? You know, he wanted that fellowship. And that was a direct correlation to the temple and to the tabernacle and all of the things that were happening there. So the Kohathites, however, were further divided because they were from the descendants of Aaron. And they turned into the priesthood. Okay, it was given to them to be the priest or the sons of Aaron, as they're called in the scriptures. But the rest of the tribe of Levites, they didn't serve as priests, but they served as ministers to the priests. They were able to, talk to the people about the Lord. They studied the Word, and so they were generally the teachers that. Very distracting. They were generally the teachers that went out into the 48 cities. Remember, the children of Israel, they didn't Levites, they didn't have possessions of their own, so that they were given 48 cities so that they would be able to teach and to judge the people as they went out. And so in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 18, it says, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So this tells us that they were being supported by the other tribes. The 11 tribes, or the 12 tribes, however you would like to put it. I'm going to say the other 12 tribes, because there were everybody knows there were 13 tribes, right? We covered that. So 12 tribes were supporting the one. And the one was getting the word of God out. They were to be faithful in reading the word to the people, and their commentaries or whatever had to line up with the scriptures. That's why we go over the scriptures. That's why we go from Genesis to Revelation, to get the whole counsel of God. This is what their job was to do. And in doing so, the people would hear and they would obey, and therefore the Lord would then prosper the nation. And they would become the envy of the world. Look how well this place is. You know, it's prosperous. It's magnificent. So everybody would try to migrate into there. And so the Lord has some stern warnings for that, but we'll get to that in a moment. So therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. Now, this sounds just like being a Christian. Okay, we have no part in this world. In fact, we've given up this world. We've died to ourselves. You know, as we've come to Christ, we die to ourselves. And so our inheritance is the Lord. This is what we look for. This is what we're looking for in, we're not looking for possessions here on the earth. We're looking for that heavenly possession. We're looking at being the Lord's. The Lord is our inheritance. And so, you know, here in buried deep in Deuteronomy here, we see that there's a correlation between these priests, Levites, and the church itself. Because that's what we want. Our inheritance is the Lord. What shall it gain a man that he should, you know, gain the whole world, and yet he loses his own soul? So the correlation is the soul is what longs for the Lord. And in this world, you know, we can have the creature comforts and things like that, but that's what our mind, our drive is going to be about, gaining things, you know, getting more lands, getting more money, getting that stock portfolio up, and, you know, and thinking that, hey, this is going to be great. Once I get to a certain level, I'll be able to just kick back and live the rest of my life until the market crashes. And I got nothing. I've lost it all. How sad that is. You know, when the market crashed in 28 and in, what was it, 2008, when the market crashed out there? You know, people had, you know, great amounts in their accounts. I can't even relate to you all of the times that I've heard people talk about, you know, I had X amount in my 401k and it's gone. Every penny is gone. And they're hopeless. It's so hopeless that they'll end their own lives. Because they don't know what to do. There's no way that I can earn it again. I'm retired. I'm old. I can't get another job. But this draws us to Christ. Lord, I've been a fool. All my life I've tried to get things and realized that now that they're gone, I've got nothing left. But I know that you will still love me. That you'll still accept me. We always have that. You know, when it talks about train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. That doesn't mean that they're going to be, you know, godly children. They're not going to grow up to be godly people. But they're going to know when they reach that bottom rung, when they reach hard bottom, they're going to know where to go. They're going to know that the Lord will still accept them. So, you know, don't fret because your children aren't following after the Lord. You know, pray for them, obviously. You want to pray for them, but don't fret about it. You know, you don't have to badger them or browbeat them because you've already planted the seeds when they were young, bringing them to church so that they can hear the Word of God. And even though this is a little baby and doesn't understand what their parents are saying, when the Word of God moves into a heart, it stays there and the Lord can work on it. So, as I had mentioned, they're going to get 48 cities, and the priests are going to be, or the Levites are going to be the ones that, you know, give out the Word of God. So it behooves them, you know, if they give out the Word of God correctly, and there's prosperous in the land, people are going to bring the sacrifices. They're going to get paid, basically. But like so many preachers today, oh man, tithes are dropping off. You know, we got bills to pay that we can't afford. Maybe instead of teaching out of the Word, maybe we should get some feel-good messages in there. You know, that way I won't offend those that are good tithers. You know, I want them to feel good when they come into the house of the Lord. I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want them to feel convicted. So let's do a sermon series on joy and another series on grace and on. People need to hear the whole counsel of God. You can't cherry pick these things. If you just go through it and read the scriptures that make you feel good, oh, I feel so good about that one. Oh, yeah, I'm so blessed. That's not going to last until you get out the door. And as soon as you hit the highways, you're going to be right back to where you were. That feel-good message is only going to last until you get out the door. But when you get the whole counsel of God, then the Lord is able to speak to you. I had that instance happen to me today. It was interesting. You know, I had to go out and shovel the walk and the driveway and things like that before we went off to church and stuff. So I got all dressed and stuff like that. And a still small voice was saying, put a mask on. Put a mask on. I'm thinking, well, you know, what's the deal out there? You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll go and get my mask, put it on, you know, and that kind of thing. I went out there, and this wind was just blowing right into my face. Well, when I go out and shovel, you know, with, you know, breathing in that cold air, I start getting pains right here in my chest. But because I had a mask on, I was breathing warm air. And I was able to go out and shovel and do everything like that without a single palpitation, without a single chest pain. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. He's looking out for you. But we have to listen and we have to obey. You know, and so I just thought I'd share that because it was just something that really blessed my heart. I mean, just kind of like, wow, you know, what I'm preaching is true. You know, it's happening. And so in verse 3 we read, and this shall be the priest's due from the people from them that offer a sacrifice. Whether it be ox or sheep, they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. So, this is the shoulder and the cheeks of the animal, which is, I've heard is pretty, you know, pretty tender and pretty good. I'm gonna take your word for it. I really haven't, you know, done the cow's head thing. You know, I know you guys have, so. But if you have, I mean, it's supposed to be pretty good stuff. And the stomach. And that's the part that the priest would get. And that was theirs. You know, it was kind of like the tithe that they would get. But not only that, the first fruit also of the corn and the wine and of thine oil and the first of the fleece of the sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So he wasn't to have a regular job. His job was to study the scriptures so that he could give it out to the people. And in turn, as the people prospered, they would bring in the things because they knew what to do. They knew about the tithes and the offerings and where to bring them. You know, there were some that was to go to the main sanctuary, but there was also support your local synagogue. You know, because these guys needed to eat too. So people would bring their stuff as the Lord prospered them because they were being obedient to the word that they were hearing. Very important to, you know, to do that, to give forth the word of God. And this is not just for the pastors of churches, but it's also for everybody. As the Lord has given you the word of God, you give it out faithfully because you know how to rightly divide the word of truth because you're well equipped to do that. If you read the word of God and you pray about the word of God, the Lord is going to give you the utterance when he wants you to have it. If a Levite, verse 6, come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portion to eat, besides which that cometh from the sale of his patrimony. So, in these cities, they were given, you know, little patches of land to where they could garden, grow vegetables, and things of that nature. So this is what it's talking about when they could, you know, grow these things and then, you know, sell them off in the marketplace and stuff like that. But that wasn't their only source of income. It was also from the tithes that the people get. So support your local synagogue. Now, in Matthew 10:10 and Luke 10:7, it says, "For the laborer is worthy of his hire." Now, the labor doesn't necessarily mean working out in the fields or that kind of a thing, tending cattle or sheep, but it's also laboring over the Word of God. We labor over the Word of God so that we can give it out. And that's what I pray before I start every study. Lord, give me the words to speak so that I can give it to your people. And so he shows me great things out of his Word. You know, I'll be, you know, sitting there and I'll just be, you know, typing away at these things and the Lord will give me an idea and I'll type that in there too. And then the Lord will show me the scriptures that back it up. And that's why I give the scriptures out so that, you know, hey, you can see that what I'm saying is in line with the scriptures themselves. That's a good practice to be in, especially in your own studies. The Lord can give you a word, but you need to have scripture to back it up. Is this really what the Word of God is saying or this thought that I'm having? Am I making this up? Or am I hearing for myself? Or can I back this up with at least two or three scriptures? It's always a good idea to do. Because then you've got scriptural backing for what the Lord has shown you. And you know that it's not from me. It didn't just enter into my little pudding head. But the Lord has shown me these things. Now, the New Testament, once you thought, okay, well, we're done with that, right? No. The New Testament broadens the priesthood to include the church. to include all Christians. 1 Peter 2:9, and this is what I'm going to say here, okay? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He's made us a priesthood, but wait, it gets better. Remember when I was talking about the people becoming one? Well, the reason for this is that Jesus, by virtue of his ministry, death, and resurrection, superseded the Aaronic priesthood, the old covenant, and became the high priest of the new covenant. So we keep hearing about the old covenant, passed away, new covenant. Okay, now the old covenant was a foreshadowing of the new covenant. Not after Aaron, but Melchizedek. You remember in Melchizedek, I think it was Genesis 12, where Abraham went out and fought with the five kings, and then he came back and he met this guy named Melchizedek, who had no beginning and had no ending, and he was the high priest of the Most High God. And he was king of Salem, which is Shalom, which means peace. He was the king of peace. So this is an Old Testament, what we call a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Son of God. Because Abraham then gives tithes to him. Now you only do that to the Lord. So Abraham is doing this. So there's a priesthood here, and we see it again in Psalm 110. He shows up again. Now, we would have forgotten all about him if it wasn't for Psalm 110, where he talks about, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So that name comes up again. He said, what in the world is going on here? But then we get to Hebrews 5:6. And he saith in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, this is in the New Testament. So if he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, what does that make us? So every Christian that has come into the family of Jesus, therefore unto Jesus' priestly line. Hebrews 2:9-11 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect," or complete, through suffering. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." So we, too, become priests after the order of Melchizedek because we are in Jesus and Jesus is within us. So that makes us priests as well. Priests in the fact that we can study the scriptures, hear from the Lord, and be able to give it out to people freely, to all. Now, I know that there's been some times where people have said, "Well, you know what? You've got questions here. Let me give you my pastor's number, and you can ask him these things." When really, you should be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. The Lord is going to prepare your heart for the people that you're going to meet today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and you need to prepare yourself. You know, 2 Timothy talks about study to show yourself approved of God. Of God. You're studying to show yourself approved to God. Lord, I am ready to go out. I am making myself ready to go out. Give me the heart to share your word. Remember, it was by the Holy Spirit that they had apostles in the beginning got the boldness to talk. Remember, they looked at Peter and John and in the temple. He says, "These guys were fishermen. How do they know such things? They weren't scholars. They were probably, you know, at best they were C&E believers." Oh, I call them C&E. We got the Christian and Easter Christians, you know, so Christmas and Easter. And they were fishermen. They worked all night and they came in and they went to synagogue. But you know how it is when you work all night. You know, you're just kind of sitting in the seats there and you just kind of go, I'm getting it. So they didn't have really any religious training. But as soon as the Holy Spirit filled them, all the things that they heard, and that they studied started to come out. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, Peter was able to give this marvelous sermon, and we attribute it to Peter because he spoke it, but it was really the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people came to know Christ in that one sermon. And I bet you Peter was probably blown away more than anybody. I can't believe this. You know, as you're talking in there, she says, man, where is this coming from? Well, it's coming from the Lord. And all of a sudden, man, we just, wow, wow. You know, I just can't believe this. So, we are priests after the order of Melchizedek because of what Jesus has done. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. So there's no difference. We are one in Him because of what He has done. I'm going to start this, but I don't think I'm not going to finish it, but just to, he stops here. This is, at verse 8 is where he talks about the priesthood, and that's where that ends. And I thought about stopping here, but I'm just going to go on just a little bit, because he's going on about warnings. He's going to warn them once again. Now, as homework, yes, I'm giving out homework, and you go, go back in Deuteronomy and count how many times he warns the people about what we're going to be talking about in just a second. And that is, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Okay? Count out how many times he says that. You can go through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and go through those and see how many times he warns us about the nations that he's going to drive out. Now notice, it says, when you get into the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. This was God ordained. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. Well, it's my land. I'm going to give it to you. But there's a caveat. Okay? You have to obey my commandments. It's a lease kind of a deal. As long as you obey, man, you're going to be in the land, you're going to prosper, you're going to be at peace, you're going to be happy. Because everything that you set your hand to do is going to prosper. And so, that's what they do. You know, they obeyed. They didn't start off that way. You know, as we see in Joshua, even before Joshua was over, they were already starting the decline. When they got to the judges there, it was, you know, it was like they opened the floodgates and all evil started to pour in. One of the taglines, and I'll call it a tagline, of the book of Judges is that every man did what was right in his own eyes. 7 times it says that. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's not following after the Lord. That's following after your own self-interest, your own greed. Something that, you know, that the Lord says, I'll take care of you. You don't need to have any of that stuff. Remember the 10 commandments? Do not covet. Remember that? You don't need to do that because I'm going to bless you if you obey. And if you don't obey, I'm going to drive you out just like I drove these people out. So as those nations were being pushed out of the land by the Lord, he would send animals in. He would send the lions in there to chase them out. He sent bees, hornets, you know. I don't know anybody that can stand. The strongest man in the world can't stand up to a swarm of hornets. I'm telling you what, they're gonna run like crazy. And that's what he did. He let these hornets in there to drive them out. So God did most of the work. And not only that, but he sends hailstones. Okay, all you guys that have been toughed out, I'm gonna stone you now. Because you're doing abominable things. Notice the word abominations. And hopefully, I don't know what it says in other translations. But in this translation, it says abominations. Something that is unredeemably disgusting. I mean, I can't even describe the adjectives of what abominations that the Lord is talking about here. Something that if you smelled it, would just make you gag and heave-ho kind of a thing. You know, not to... I guess that was a little too far. Okay. But anyway, but you get the idea. The Lord was, you know, This is an abomination to follow after, to learn to do after these nations, when you should be learning to do after what the Lord has said. You see the contrast here? Now, obviously, you know, how do we, you know, equate that to today? We got to have jobs, you know, so we have to study. We have to go to school to learn our trades and things of that nature, whether it's trade school or college or whatever it is. And so we devote a lot of time to that. But that doesn't negate our, you know, our service to the Lord. You know, and when you get to be too busy to do your devotions, to read the word, to pray, to praise. Praise is a big thing. Praising the Lord, giving thanks to everything that he's done. Big thing. Something, you know, then you know that you're off track. You're devoting too much time to the things of this world. Yes, you have to do X, Y, and Z. And I realize that they put all of this stuff on you, but guess what? There's something more important than that diploma. Because I know many people, well, myself included, you know, I went to a trade school and I did all of these things and I worked in my field for, you know, what seemed like 20 minutes. And all of a sudden the world changed and they went for, I was a draftsman. I learned to draw on the board. You know, I was an artist, an illustrator and things like that. But then it went to computers. And my whole world changed. I thought, what am I going to do? Well, you got to get into computers now. So, you know, what you study for today, the job may not even be there when you get your diploma. So, or the Lord may call you into a different aspect, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's, what, you got a PhD in math or something, eh? Master's. Oh, well, yeah. We want to get her too high up there. Master's degree in math. And you know, and she's now homeschooling kids. That's the greatest thing that she could do. Yes, it was great that she had the mind to be able to do that. But the Lord changed it. And we have to be ready to flow with that. You know? So we can't learn to do after the abominations. Now, inherently, school is not an abomination until you start to realize that maybe it is an abomination. What are they teaching? Are they teaching social interactions? CRT? You know, the things that are going to change the shape of what you think and how you think, you know? You know, college has been like that for a lot of folks. People succeed at college because they're able to adapt and take all of these things in with stride, in their stride. You know, they're able to take it. But to really, you know, get up there, you know, you're going to be pressured to follow after the politics of the school as it is, you know. And that can be a terrible thing on somebody's, you know, Christianity. Because everything that you're taught is against what the Lord has said. You know, I mean, it even creeps into our own, you know, our own mindset, our own vocabulary. Well, this evolved into, well, wait a minute. Nothing evolves into anything. You know, it's designed that way. You know, your thinking is designed. I'm designing myself to think like an engineer. But something else creeps in. The way that you think about being an engineer, how you fit in society. All of these things are supposed to come from the Lord and your background in the Lord. So don't put the things of this world ahead of the things of the Lord. Let the Lord be first and foremost in your life because you're not going to have any peace. You're going to be, you know, you're going to say, oh man, I'm lost here. I'm just overwhelmed. Anybody ever feel that way? You feel overwhelmed thinking that, hey, I'm not... I can't do the things that I'm... Who are you going to call on? You're going to call on the Lord? Well, you haven't been following after the Lord. You haven't been reading the Word. The Word hasn't permeated into your heart. That's the sign from the Lord that, hey, you need to get back to your first love, as it says in Revelation chapter 2. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Go back and do the first works. You're doing all these other great things. But go back and do the first works, the things that are most important. The first commandment being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything that you are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've been able to spend in your word. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just bring these things to our hearts as we go through our lives. So often, Lord, we get sidetracked because of the pressures of the life and the things that we have to do. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would be first and foremost in our lives. That we would seek you above all else. In Jesus' name, amen.